As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we are officially on this week's Midweek Howl, the Shane Grove birthday edition. Welcome to the show.
And welcome to the shadows, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling.
We don't want to throw everybody off by saying welcome to the From the Shadows, because even though that's the umbrella, there'll be people that say, wait a second, I didn't tune in.
Yeah, well, I can't help it. You guys can't maintain your audience.
Well, you know, they're
mad at Jason.
Don't even get me started on Jason.
Okay, let's go. Let's what we talking about. We were talking about before he hit the record. Shane, me and Shane was talking about Vanilla Ice, and that is not Vanilla Ice. And Jason shouldn't be in the same sentence.
Well, they are in the same sentence because the funny thing about Jason, we really rag on Jason off the air. Not so much on the air, but we do off the air, because he sometimes is really clueless about the last 30 or 40 years of pop culture. And we could say Vanilla Ice, and he may not even know who Vanilla Ice is. And even the most unattentive person alive the last 30 or 40 years would have an idea of her. And he's never even heard of her.
He's my age. He's our age, isn't he?
Yeah, he's our age.
How did you get through high school without knowing who Vanilla Ice was?
He didn't know who Vanilla. He never heard of MC Hammer. I remember.
Oh, that is a lie. What, did he go to some Catholic school or something? I'm lost for words. We shouldn't even talk about it because I want to be able to talk.
He were you not on the air with us the day that he said he had discovered that the guy who played on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he found out he was a rapper?
Will Smith?
Yeah, that Will Smith
was an actor. He's a comedian slapper too, you know? He's a man of many talents.
So yeah,
he's Jason. Rock breaker.
So how we got on this was, you. Hold on a second.
So did his parents, I mean, he's not Amish, is he? I mean, he grew up out there in your neck of the woods, right? He's not Amish, is he?
Well, he looks Amish, but he'd be the only black Amish guy.
Beard.
He's got an Amish. He absolutely has an Amish beard because it's shaved across under his nose, right?
Yeah, that's, I think that means you're single, right? Or what's that mean? I think it's got a meaning to it.
I don't know. I just think all the Amish shave their beards like that, don't they?
No, certain styles have certain meanings. You'll have to get. Do we have any Amish people in the audience?
Oh yeah, we got Amish.
Maybe they'll hook you up on Facebook. Huh?
We don't have Amish people in the audience. How would they?
Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, we might have some Mennonites over here.
Speaking of that, did I tell you? Did I tell you what? Oh god, So last time I was in Amish country with my friends, they own a bed and breakfast. They got a farmer's market. And I got to talking to one of the a mailman in that Amish town, and he was complaining to me about the electric bikes that these Amish kids are riding around, and they just go zipping by you because they don't, you know, they don't really understand real traffic laws. You know what I'm saying? They either ride a bicycle or they ride that horse-drawn buggy. They don't, you know, they don't, so they don't understand like getting on a vehicle that moves even faster, like that electric bicycle. And a bunch of them have gotten killed because they just don't understand. They go zipping around somebody and they don't signal and they don't, you know, they just don't get it apparently. But he told me that. So of course, all the Amish kids have cell phones. All right.
Then they're not real Amish, but go ahead.
Well, but he said, but it's like, so first of all, I said, hey, so how do they, well, maybe not all the Amish kids have cell phones, but I said, well, how do they have these electric bikes?
How they charge like, a bike.
How they charge a bike. So he said, the one, he's friends with the guy who owns a garage in this town, and they couldn't figure out their electric bill had jumped way up over the course of a couple months. And here they figured out that these Amish kids were driving around and on their lunch breaks from wherever they were working, you know, they drive into the town to go get something to eat, and they park behind this guy's shop and just plug their bikes into his, into the back, you know, the outdoor sockets. And he goes, I don't think they even realize that it electricity costs money.
You know, that is indicative of a lot of people in America.
They don't understand, like,
not just the Amish. They don't understand electricity or what makes it. Not where we want to go, really. You know, I thought we were going to talk about Vanilla Ice, and now I'm going to talk about
electricity.
And I don't want to.
Okay. Well, I'll get you back.
Vanilla Ice takes a lot of electricity.
So we got on electricity because I was watching a TV show, and you asked me what I was watching, and I am a big fan of watching stuff on HGTV. Discovery Network, because stuff I can't do. Like I love watching people redo houses. So I like the show called Farmhouse Fixer that Jonathan Knight hosts. And you said, well, who's that? And I go, he's one of the Backstreet or New Kids on the Block. You know, one of the people from our generation, New Kids on the Block, which Jason's probably never heard of. Good thing he's not here to say who. But and then that led you to explain why you don't watch those shows.
I don't. I said I quit watching pop celebrities fix up houses when they arrested Vanilla Ice for stealing stuff out of the neighbor's house.
And I was not true, which is funny that we went from Vanilla Ice to Amish, because didn't Vanilla Ice, one of his shows was fixing up Amish or something.
Well, he might be Amish. Now that I think about it, he's got a, let me see, what's his real name?
Rob Van Winkle. That's a pretty Amish name.
Oh, so right? He's got a Kanye last name.
Kanye.
Let me see. Is it Rob Van Winkle? How did you remember that?
Rob Van Winkle. Come on. I mean, man,
what's
you
a Fonzie
problem.
Van Winkle?
No.
What's Fonzie's last name?
Winkler. Henry Winkler.
Henry Winkler. That was right.
Henry Van Winkle.
It could be. Yeah, see, he was February 18, 2015. He was taken into custody on burglary. What happened? He told cops he thought he could take that stuff. I don't want to read the stuff. You know, he just, how do you go from Tech 9 to, you know, Channel 9 doing time? I don't know, you know.
How do you go from being a one-hit wonder to having a successful TV show and then get arrested.
What is that? Was that? Was the only one hit? Didn't he have another one?
Yeah, I mean, I think he had remix Play That Funky Music.
Well, what ruined him, I saw a thing where he had to pay
Suge Knight.
Well,
oh no, he had to pay he had to pay David Bowie.
Dave Bowie and Queen. Mm-hmm. And you know what? At that point, yep, he was the first sampler to ever have to pay. Did you know that? I watched the whole thing on
Sampler. Oh my gosh, because dude, they used to sample.
Yep,
some of those guys sampled everybody.
And he claims the reason why, because he was a white Jewish kid, so they made an example out of him.
Oh, brother.
And when it broke down to at the end of the days, he was the first one that sampled and made a lot of money. You know, that song.
Well, I don't know. I got to say, the Sugar Hill Gang on Rapper's Delight sampled Good Times by Chick, right? Chick or whatever. Good time, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But and was that, it really theirs? Rappers,
well, yeah, it was theirs.
I don't
they, know. That Good Times was a big disco song, and the Sugar Hill Gang sampled that bass line. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or no, you don't know that?
I don't, you know.
Rapper's Delight.
Sugar Hill Gang we had here was a bunch of out-of-work strippers that were going around stealing stuff. But, you know.
And they
when they got out of jail, they called them Salt and Pepper. They were so salty. It changed after that, you know.
So you're not a fan of Vanilla Ice?
No, the song was a big deal when we were seniors.
I was in college.
No, you weren't.
Oh yeah, I was. I was like a freshman sophomore in college. Absolutely, it's like 90, 91, somewhere in there.
Hold on, I'm looking up right now. It should not up. It should.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up right here?
I'm not looking it up. You said you were looking up. I know.
Well,
I remember when it was. I mean, come on.
You signed the 89, but 90 is when it came out.
Yeah, 90, 91.
No, it appeared on a platinum remix, Underground. The A side. Hold on a second, that's not right. Yeah, it is a hip hop song. Do you know what the A side was?
The A side of that song?
Yeah, come on.
You mean Ice Ice Baby was the B side?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now hold on. Would you like to know who they're giving credit on this thing? Now, you're gonna die when I is Play That Funky Music.
Was the A side? Okay, that was the second hit.
You know who the very first songwriter's got him? Mario Johnson. Never heard him. You know who the first. Well, I'm just gonna go on down the line here, on songwriters.
Okay.
Brian May.
From Queen.
David Jones, Freddie Mercury, John Deacon. Who was he?
Was he a member of Queen?
He was an English songwriter, formerly of Queen.
Okay, so they must have gave every member of Queen.
Roger Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, so it looks, everybody. And then it says producers, Vanilla Ice, Queen, and David Bowie.
There you go.
But I think this is after they jacked him up. I think it was released before then on that.
Because he was signed in
89. He was signed in 89.
Yeah, he didn't give them credit until he got called out. Yeah, trust me.
I think the thing where he had to give one of them $1 million and the other one's $2 million or something.
That's all he had to give them?
Because well, I mean, $1,990, that's a lot of money, dude.
I know, but he made a lot more money than that.
He was only like $5 million.
I don't believe that for a second. Unless Suge Knight took a bunch.
I didn't realize Suge sign him or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Or, well, I don't know if Suge Knight signed him, but Suge Knight made him sign with him after he got the
podcast. Right. That's probably what he says as a defense when he got stopped for burglary. Hey, that's just my producer says every once in a while I got to steal something.
Right? So Okay, so we don't like, you know, we're not a big fan of the fixer.
I never said I wasn't. I love Vanilla Ice. I just don't watch. I don't watch home improvement shows, and I'll tell you why. Because everyone's going to be staying the same way. They're going to have a crew there. Some chick is going to be smashing the wall with a freaking sledgehammer or something. And it's BS, man. I don't like that. And then you know what they do? They call cut, and these gals go do whatever they do. And some dude gets a bunch of Mexicans in there and does all the work.
Oh, geez. So
that's what I don't like about it.
Okay, so speaking of nice architecture, I was set something this week. Now, when you go on vacation or somewhere, do you ever use like an Airbnb?
No.
At all?
Never used one.
Never used one. Ever. So I got sent a link for the Airbnb. And this is it's Buffalo Bill's The Silence of the Lambs House. You can go stay at the house where Buffalo Bill and Silence of the Lambs lived in the movie. For the low price of $468 a night. And as you walk in, it has a full life-size statue of Hannibal Lecter in the straight jacket, in the little like leather face guard they had for him. And it says you can stay overnight at Buffalo Bill's house, the famous movie house from the Academy Award-winning film The Silence of the Lambs, for the first time in history. The 1910 Queen Anne Victorian style home is located in a quiet neighborhood in Perryopolis, Pennsylvania, about 30 miles south of Pittsburgh. Used for filming the 1991 five-time Academy Award winning film Silence of the Lambs. Have your picture taken peering out the front door, just like Buffalo Bill. Step inside the foyer where Buffalo Bill lures Clarice into and eat in the iconic dining room where Clarice questions James Gum while searching for business cards in the top drawer of the built-in curio, which still exists. And it goes on and on and on. In addition, we built Buffalo Bill's Workshop of Horrors, an interactive set in the basement complete with vintage Singer sewing machine, the American flag, full-length mirror, mannequins dressed in vintage 80s outfits, kimono, fully functional disco ball, and emotion-activated speakers playing Goodbye Horses, playing as you enter the basement. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine that?
No.
All overnight stays include complimentary travel size of our best-selling Buffalo Bill's house, body lotion, and other special gifts. Oh, that's fantastic. I wonder if they lower it to you in a basket. Do you think they do?
I can't believe you are. That sounds like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, that's an iconic movie for sure, but I mean, if you wanted to have an Airbnb, and I guess, look, everybody's got
for $468 bucks a night, I can go buy the Hilton, and I guarantee you they'll put me some cookies and a couple of waters on the bed for that kind of money, okay? And I can buy a hell of a lot of whatever kind of lotion I want for that kind of money. I mean, $468 bucks, I didn't even pay that when I went to the damn Formula One race in Monaco.
Well, but you also didn't get to go down into the Buffalo Bill's haunted lab.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about Buffalo Bill, but if you've ever been to the south of France in between the opening of the Cannes Film Festival and the F1 race in Monaco, there's enough Buffalo Bill rides. I mean, Buffalo Bill ain't got nothing on some of the rides in that place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. More ways than one. I mean,
but there's not a sewing machine down there to make a flesh suit or whatever Buffalo Bill was.
I've seen some Africans probably skin somebody for you if you give them enough money.
Oh, jeez. Speaking of that, and because when I got this and I started thinking about it, I'm like, so in your career of law enforcement, did you ever come across a serial killer?
Well, I have been around a lot of killers.
Okay.
But some most people that kill. Now, we've had some weirdos pop up here lately. I blame it on the TV show.
Which most, one?
Ozark.
Oh, you mean...
Yeah, because these weirdos move down here, you know, or okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, yeah. I don't know. But yeah. But to kill a... You know, so most people, most killers that I've been around killed the dude their old lady was sleeping with, or their old lady, or some dude over a crack deal gone bad. You know, I tell you, the killer that I probably knew the most, there was a guy named Paul Neely. He shot a guy named Bird Terrell, Robert Bird Terrell. They called him Big Bird. This guy was, I was around Big Bird a lot as a cop. And I'm trying to decide to tell you how much of the story I'm going to back up and tell you. But he was known for the city police if they went to a call, and they called him Big Bird because he was a big old gang. Like, you know, some of these guys that get so big, they're not, you know, kind of like Andre the Giant. They don't look proportionate, right? They look kind of gangly. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like longer arms and.
Yeah, he wasn't like The Rock. That's proportionate. I mean, yeah. This dude was probably The Rock size, right? 6'5", maybe 6'6", but probably 6'5", 280. But a hard drinking, hard blue collar worker type guy, right? And when the city cops would have a call, they would always send like 4 cars. Because they knew if he wanted to fight, it'd take 4 or 5 of them. And this is back before tasers and before the cops just shot people. You know what I mean? Back in the old days, they duked it out a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the 80s and 90s, they
now guys don't, them. Now guys just don't.
I was trying to tell my son this the other day. He said something about something. I don't remember. My youngest boy. And I said, well, it used to kind of be fun being a cop, but they don't, they you know, there's a shortage of law enforcement here, like everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a billboard or something, and he said, "Hey, Daddy, something." And I said, "Dude, I got no desire to do anything like that, because in the old days there was a certain amount of fun to it because you didn't get crucified. Does that make sense?"
Yeah.
And it went like this. So Bird Terrell might be fighting 4 or 5 cops, might be drunk. Somebody calls cops on him. He rolls up. If the cops get mouthy with him, he wants to fight. They're all going to end up rolling around on the ground. He's going to end up maced and probably smacked around a little bit. Maybe.
And he's not going to get mad about it. He's going
to
take.
No, they go to jail, and he goes. He's not going to get mad about it. And you know, he doesn't get charged with a whole lot, because we had a prosecutor back in the old days when the Democrats ran this place. We had some prosecutors that thought, you know, I'm not going to charge him any more for beating up a cop than I am a citizen, right? So if you think he needs a little extra, you better give it to him in the parking lot or before you know what I mean? That was just the way it was. Now, I got very few physical confrontations. So I witnessed a bunch, I rolled up on a bunch, and I cleaned up the aftermath of a bunch, but for whatever reason, I didn't take the place serious, so I never really fought a lot. But back to Bird. I was around him a lot when I was a young deputy and working in jail, because he was in jail a lot. Okay? And I've told this story before, and I'm going to retell it. The night we found him, he came up missing. And the sheriff I worked for, he was just another old doper biker missing. Now, they're supposedly... We had one missing person. It was an old redheaded guy. I can't remember his name. He's supposedly in the concrete at this new Super Walmart. It was new at the time. The Super Walmart in Moberly, Missouri. Now, these guys, most of these guys are union laborers. This Bird Terrell worked for my old man back in the day. And the shooter I'm about to tell you about worked for my old man, too. So, you know, they're just hard drinking. Just a hard life, right? And... this redheaded biker came up missing, and he's to this day still missing. The sheriff I worked for claimed that they put him in the concrete the night before they did like a 200 and some yard pour. You know, they poured the entire floor of a Walmart. You know, when they back up like a 50 concrete trucks with these pump trucks. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. But who put him in there? The people that killed him?
Yes. Well, it damn sure wasn't his.
But I'm saying you said the sheriff did. And I'm like, well, maybe.
No, the sheriff told me that, you know, because my sheriff ran the Crime Stoppers hotline. He was the chairman of the Crime Stopper deal. So he just knew everything about everything because he was an old, the original sheriff I worked with, he's just an old connected guy, right? Mm-hmm. And they wasn't going to dig up a new freaking Walmart just for some old Dover biker. Okay. It was a money deal gone bad. They put the whack on him. The people that put the whack on him were labor guys. They went out there, dug a hole, put him in it.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
And the next day, when the concrete truck's backed up, you know, they shove a little dirt and gravel over top of them. The next day, when they start pouring at 4 a.m, they're going to pour, like I said, you know, 100 trucks. They got 200 dudes standing there. They got 100 concrete trucks backed up, or 50 or whatever they're pouring, you know. Them big pours, he's done. You know what I mean? You know, there was about a couple-hour window that somebody could have found him, and they missed it. You know what I mean? And they missed it. So back to Bird. So when Bird come up missing, the sheriff was just said, you know, hey, if he stays missing very much longer, he's probably in the concrete somewhere. So I had to go out to see. I was the fledgling. This is when President Clinton was in, and they were giving out money for community policing grants. And I was supposed to be a community police guy out of this little town that where they hated the sheriff. But my uncle, my grandpa's brother, my great uncle was on the board. So he was making me the town cop. And the story I like to tell, because it just tickles me to death, is the sheriff called up the jail and said, you can ride with me out to this meeting. Meet me in the back door of the jail. So I go to the back door of the jail, and there's the sheriff in his old army truck. And I told you, people that remember the 90s remember all this military surplus they're giving away. So I get in the truck with the sheriff, and he promptly rear ends a minivan, letting some kids off, at picking up some kids at a grade school kid care by the courthouse. And the guy jumps out and rails on the sheriff a little bit. Now, my sheriff never wore his name tag because he was always disheveled. And when the sheriff apologized and said, sorry, if you have a problem taking down Tom's auto body, and you call up the office. And the guy goes, I want to know who the hell, I know Haymeyer, that was the sheriff I worked for. I know Haymeyer, who should I tell him was driving? And he said, well, you tell him Deputy Crocker. He'll know. He'll know. And that's when he jumped in the truck, looked over me and said, sorry, bud, I had to give you up, man. And I said, really? He goes, well, screw him. He says he knows who I am. He don't even know who I am. Let's go. So all the way
I know the sheriff, and he's talking to him.
Yeah, he's talking to the sheriff, threatening another sheriff. And my sheriff he could check his ego instantly.
Hey, I am the sheriff.
Right, because he didn't want to get into that shit, right? He was like, yes, sir, I'm sorry, sir. Please don't call him.
Whatever you do, don't call the sheriff.
But on the way back, they called him on the radio and told him to call the police department. He called the police department, parked at the police department, told me to wait outside. He walked in and came back and said, we found Bird. And what he had done is he was out behind Missouri Furniture, was a furniture store. You can Google, you guys can Google it up. I mean, it's news shit's out there, right? So somebody shot him 18 or 19 times in the face with a 22, 16
Holy
or 17.
Moly. Wow. Okay.
So anyway, so then that was the big, so the next night we found him at night and the next day it was, oh my God, who killed him? You know, there's the long, you know, when you do these, you know, in like 48 hours, who's got something in for it? Just the guy that had 1,000 people had it in for him. Oh, so yeah. Everybody that knew him hated him. And, but at about 3 p.m, the new local news called 911 and said, this guy's in the newsroom and he wants to confess on live air. And it was a guy named Paul Neely. And he said, hey, I shot him and this is how it went down. He said, I heard he was molesting my underage daughter, and I went and confronted her, and she said, yeah, he'd been doing it since she was 12 or 13 or something. So he said, I called him up and said, hey, man, I got the back key to the back, because he had worked there as a furniture delivery guy and maintenance guy and whatever, and he called Bird up and said, hey, dude, I got the back key to the back door if you want to go in and steal some stuff. Well, what he had done was he hid a .22 in there. Well, the Marlins with a tube under the barrel that holds like 16 or 18 22 shells. And when Bird was standing, when he went in and opened the door, Bird was standing there, and he reached in and grabbed his 22, come around and shot him right in the face. And he went down and he just kept shooting until it was out. Emptied the whole gun and walked away and left him. So he was behind the furniture store.
Holy moly.
And he sat right on the curb till the police showed up. So, you've been around enough of lawyers. How do you defend that? Or, I mean, how do you even sequester a jury? I mean, so they started with that. Does that make sense? They started with like third degree manslaughter or something because they just assume it's all true. Now, whether it is or not, because part of the people think it was a drug deal, said both of them owed money to the same dude to kill the redheaded stranger. And they told Neely, hey, this is a deal.
Go you kill him.
You either kill him or you're going to go down for it. And he said, okay, I'll take care of it. And so the molesting daughter deal was just
like a cover.
A hell of a defense because it worked because you can shoot, especially back in the 90s, you could shoot pedophiles around here and not bat an eye, really. I mean, not to say it's open season on them nowadays or back then, but yeah, when it's under certain parameters, they let people shoot you. And that was one of them. And so anyway, when he got arrested, of course, my mom called. She goes, oh, my God, he's such a nice guy, this Paul. And I said, how do you know him? She said, well, he works for your dad over there. He's the one that built your brother, you and your brother, your toy boxes and did all the woodwork. He built us bits. What? My dad, mom had bought this old farmhouse and my dad redid it. And we had these fancy toy boxes and built-in desks, you know what I'm saying, and with bookshelves and shit, and he was a carpenter. And my mom was like, yeah,
if you'd have been a little more famous as a killer, that stuff might be worth some money.
Well, you know, he came out, and as far as I know, he's never been in trouble. You know what's weird is I think that was the first time he'd ever gotten in trouble and the last time he ever got in trouble. They let him out in a couple of years, and you know, that's, you know, the world's maybe a little better place when one of these weirdos gets the whack. But that's where I was going with that. Most of the killers I was around were people that killed the dude that they had a problem with. And I would tell people sometimes I would rather deal with the honest-to-God killer, even once been in jail for a long time or not, than some punk on the street, right? Because you get some 17, 18, 19-year-old punk on the street, he does not realize that you've already won. And when I say you represent the state. Whether it's you or the next 10 guys that follow you into this door, sooner or later, you're going to win and you're going to crush him, right? You've already won. Young punks don't realize that, but these old timers do. So old timers ain't going to screw with you much. And the killers have usually killed who they were mad at, and now they just want to, you know, we get on with it.
Well,
a real mean killer, especially back in them day, you know, Yeah. Where'd John Wayne Gacy come from? Chicago?
Yes, outside of Chicago.
And then who was the funny guy down there in Florida?
Oh,
most of the serial killers, Jack
Ted Bundy.
Yes, Ted Bundy. They jack around places like that or California, because you jack around too much around here, and you know that all the weirdos on Twitter now say F around and find out, right? Well, that's because you can't be a real serial killer in the Ozarks, because first of all, there's not enough transient population to kill, and second of all, once you start messing with your neighbors or kill the wrong person, you're going to get the whack. So you got to go to those liberal enclaves where the I don't know what you'd call it. I was going to say only the lonely live.
No, wait a second. Ted Bundy was not in a liberal enclave.
Bundy in Florida?
That ain't very liberal.
Well, it ain't now, but back then it was.
No, I don't think so. I think there's parts of it. I don't think he was hanging out in the liberal parts. And what about the dude, BTK, right? Blind torture.
He was,
and kill.
He was in Kansas, right?
Kansas City or something, yeah.
Well, you know what?
That guy was really messed up. Have you ever seen anything on him?
Well, I seen something the other day on it, because didn't they think he came back for a minute or somebody sent something?
Well, he did. He got, that's how he got caught.
You know, did they really catch you? Oh, you're right. They did. I think he wanted to get caught, though, didn't he?
Well, he was very egotistical, and they led to him getting basically
because
he had done all this stuff, I think, in the early 70s. And then they surmised that he took off because he had a kid, and he waited until that.
They take
kid,
a lot of time. I mean, it's hard to be on the road killing a bunch of people out all late at night when you got kids that need help with homework and sports and band and shit. I mean,
but he was the
I can't help you, Junior. I got to go whack somebody.
Well, but he was the guy that was the code enforcer, right? For the city.
So he drove could around. Be now that you say that.
Yeah, he was the code enforcer guy. And so he just, that's what his job was, to drive around and go check out people's houses. But I think what happened was, is he did all that stuff in the early 70s, took that time off, and then started writing letters.
Yeah, I knew there was a letter component that they tracked him down with, right?
Yeah, and that's how they tracked it down, because they figured out he was using the computer at his church.
Oh, yes, it was the church thing.
Yeah.
The printer, right?
Was it the printer that he... No,
well,
it was the
every... Computer. I think every printer thing, thanks to the post office, every piece of mail scanned, every printer leaves an electronic signature on it. Invisible.
Well, I forget, because I must have seen, but they kind of saw some surveillance.
But I think you're right. It is about the church, because I watched something on it not too long ago. Now, we had one up by my uncle's house that a trooper I worked with, who's dead now, otherwise we'd get him on there and he could tell you all about it. It was a mother and it was an elderly couple that were a farm couple. And I don't know how many. Oh, shoot, the name just escapes me. How many people they killed?
Who was that? The farm couple.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna.
Oh, boy. You know, we're supposed to do the research before the show. Or is that what makes our show? that we don't even know we're gonna talk about it. How do we get from Vanilla Ice to the...
Ray and Faye Copeland. Oldest serial killer. Now, that's
I've
a YouTube.
I've never heard of them.
Yep.
Who are
they? He got the death penalty. They were in Northwest Missouri. He died at Potosi Correctional Center. He was on occupation. It says cattle farmer, thief, swindler, forger, killer. So they have known victims 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, really, that's not very many. He was counting on 5. You still there?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, are you reading it, or you want me to do the backstory? Because I'm reading about it here, and I want to make sure I don't get too, you know, because He would pick up these drifters and hobos and employed them as farm hands on his property in Mooresville, Missouri. He'd take the employees to the market where they would use his bad checks to buy cattle for him. After the transactions, Ray would sell the cattle quickly and the farm hands would disappear without a trace.
Wow. And what was the time period this was in?
This is in the late 80s and the 90s. He got caught in, hold on. In October 89, they visited Copeland's farm with a search warrant and a team of bloodhounds. Additionally, they didn't find anything incriminating. But after first, they found the bodies of three young men were discovered in a nearby barn. As the search continued, more bodies were found and killed with the same weapon, a 22 caliber Marlin rifle that was later found in the Copeland home.
I've never heard that story, and I'm surprised.
So the do what?
I'm surprised. I mean, I've listened to a lot of,
and of course, she said when she went to trial, her defense said she was a dutiful wife and mother and endured beatings and general ill treatment from her husband. However, the jury convicted her of 5 counts first degree murder and she was given 4 death sentences too, in one life.
So here's the ironic thing is if she'd have known anything about Bill Neely, she could have just killed her husband and said, he beat me and abused me.
Uh-huh.
And she could have got out in a couple of years.
She should have said, I don't know. Not even that. She should have just said, I don't know what he's doing. I think he killed somebody in the barn. And I heard him talking about it, and I wanted to kill him before he killed me. And then sure enough, they'd go find all these dead dudes.
There you go. That would have been perfect. That would have been perfect.
So the judge overturned her death sentence, but she let him commuted to life without parole. She suffered stroke and died. Yeah, anyway.
Do you think people like that suffering a stroke and dying is probably
true? Well, hold on a second. And then I see where this weak in the knees, Governor Bob Holden authorized a medical parole for Faye, fulfilling her one last wish not to die in prison. She was paroled to a nursing home where she died of natural causes. She left behind 5 children and 17 grandchildren.
17 grandchildren. Holy smokes.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
I can't believe they let her have her damn last wish. I don't know.
I don't know how we got on
murders, but you know, I really wanted to do a
Vanilla Ice will do that to you.
I thought about one time doing a documentary. There was a pair of killers that went to two separate killers. I think I've talked about some. Maybe I haven't. I think I've talked offline with you about it. Maybe. We had 2 killers in Boone County going at the same time. Black guy that they just killed a couple of years ago now. He was borderline retarded. He walked to the trailer park to the Casey's, did all the shopping for years. And then he got sideways because of the crack and the money and everything else. So he went into the Casey's where he always worked or where he always shopped and robbed the place and brought everybody in the back room into the freezer. 3 of them, I think, and killed them with a hammer because they thought they recognized him. Huh?
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay. So they give him the death penalty because they said he had his cool reflection, time to sort it out. His defense said, first of all, our guy's retarded. Second of all, he's on crack. Third of all, he just did it because he freaked out because he thought they knew who he was because he always shopped here and he lives next door. And the jury said, boom, you're getting it because he got time to think from the time he took him from the counter to the to the freezer. Now, most Casey's ain't very big, so it just depends on how much time you're talking. But at the same time, there was an insurance salesman named Eric Beislein who killed 10 people, I think. Let me Google him up.
He's an insurance salesman?
Yeah, so he was back on the crack again. Man, that crack killed a lot of shit, didn't he? Mm-hmm.
Golly.
He had a relatively normal childhood. That's what it says right here. He was diagnosed. He took Ritalin for 3 years back in the day when it was cutting edge. He started, went to Purdue, joined a fraternity. Anyway, just one thing led to another. So I thought he went to Mizzou, but Purdue's not that bad, I guess. So Anyway, what he would do is he would go out and sell these door-to-door insurance policies. And when he found these old women out in the middle of nowhere, he would sell them an insurance policy, you know, like a funeral policy or whatever.
Yeah.
But he would, instead of making like Christy, instead of making you Christy's beneficiary, she would make it out to himself. And then he would come back and choke them out and kill them. And then sometimes they would, you know, they might lay out there a week or two or three or whatever, you know what I mean? You know how farm country is, right? So when the cops would find, you know, grandma's body or whatever, they go, well, it's 85-year-old woman out here, you know, kind of, it's about her time to go. Does that make sense? I don't know how to say it. But and then sometimes he would forge checks on them and stuff like that. But most of the time he was their beneficiary. So what happened is he went out, he got jammed up over dope money. And he went out and went to kill one so he could collect her policy. And she just outgunned him. She fought him and I'm trying to read right here. A little 84-year-old Evelyn Hesch.
How many times do you think you could get away with?
I don't know, but they killed him. I'm trying to see how many he killed here. One, so they exhumed this body right here. So three victims that they convicted him.
Yeah.
Well, that they, because this one I'm reading here, they dug this one guy up and said, well, they established he died of a heart attack, but his death led the police to investigate in a bank report showing a bellman had purchased a $15,000 policy from Byzline at his death. And anyway, so he had took that money. So, but all that's to say is this guy went out there, he had an elaborate scheme. And he got life. He didn't get the death penalty. Okay. And that was the big rush when they were trying to save this poor retarded black guy on death row here. This guy, they're saying it's 2 or 3 minutes that he could reflect from the cooler to the kitchen, or, you know, from the counter to the cooler to kill these people was enough. But this good looking college graduate insurance guy can drive 40 or 50 miles out in the country and sell these people a policy and come back weeks later and kill them. And that's not cool reflection.
It's not. Yeah, that's all. Exactly.
But see, in Missouri, the juries decide whether you're innocent or guilty, and then they get to turn around and they get to decide your penalty. So the judge doesn't do it; the jury does.
Huh? That's kind of different.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to see. So some of these guys get changes of venues or whatever, and I'm trying to see where he got a.
You mean to go somewhere where they're.
Yeah. So instead of being out in like Bucyrus, they'll get a change of venue to go to
Columbus.
Yeah. Where it's like, well, you know.
Well, how many times could you get away with selling your own, an insurance policy from a company that you work for, and then have that company issue you a check after the person died?
You know, there you go. This is back in the 80s before all that shit was washed out. I don't know.
So you mean it would just some lady, some guy somewhere at a desk filling out a check?
Maybe. I don't know. Because then and it looks like he's getting sloppy here. Sometimes he would take their money and never buy the policy and just keep their money too.
Oh, gee. Well, that wouldn't be. So he didn't have to kill him?
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's just a bad world. When you start killing folks, unless you work for the U.S. government in the Middle East or North Africa, it gets sticky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't go out killing folks on the mail route. You know what I'm saying? And I work for the government.
Well, I mean, you got a rough mail route, though. You might be the victim. They might turn the tables on you pretty quick. Some of them neighborhoods.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. God only knows what's hiding in our shadows.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.